Sounded louder than it was.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Happy feast, brothers and sisters, as today we celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, which really is the culmination, the fulfillment of what we began on those pre-Lenten Sundays. It seems like so long ago now. I guess it would have been back in February, and then through the season of Great Lent and Holy Week, and through our Lord's crucifixion, His resurrection from the dead, that we've been celebrating His ascension, that we commemorated 10 days ago, and now we have the Feast of Pentecost. And it's unfortunate that over time, most Christians have lost sight of how important this feast is. In fact, if you look at the Church Fathers and just in general the Church teaching, this is the second most important feast. This is the second most important feast after Pascha. It's not Christmas that many Christians think today, and obviously in our society more than any other has been commercialized, but it is this Feast of Pentecost that is of such great importance. And the reason for that, again, is it is the culmination, the fulfillment, as we heard this morning at Mass in the Synaxarian reading, it is the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus Christ. And it's not only the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus Christ, but it is the essence of what Jesus taught. The uniqueness of His teaching and how He taught us that there is a different way. There is a different way than the way that human beings normally think about the world, certainly up until that time and even to our own day. That this world, even though it's not the end in and of itself, the way that we live with one another, the way that we treat one another, the way that we think about one another can be transcended and can be redeemed through the coming of the Holy Spirit. We hear this highlighted in two of the prayers that we have today. One of them will stick with us for the rest of the year. Maybe you noticed it, maybe you didn't, but we have not been saying since Pascha the prayer that we begin, that the priest says at the beginning of Divine Liturgy, and that you all say in your homes, and that we say at the beginning of the service after the opening blessing. O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, Treasury of blessings, Giver of life, come and abide in us. Cleanse us from every stain and save our souls, O Good One. We don't say that. It's replaced by Christ is risen on Pascha through the Ascension. And then it's only introduced again today on the Feast of Pentecost, and I'll talk about the significance of that prayer in a minute. The other one is the hymn for the day. We'll sing it all week. Blessed art thou, O Christ our God, who hast revealed the fishermen as most wise, having sent upon them the Holy Spirit. And through them thou hast fished the universe. O lover of mankind, glory to thee. I want to highlight two things that these prayers relate to about the feast of Pentecost and what it means that the Holy Spirit has been sent upon us. First of all, we hear in that prayer, O Heavenly King, who art everywhere present and fillest all things. This is of the absolute utmost importance to us as Christians. It's something that began, a teaching that began, of course, in the Old Testament, and then was really taught to us again through our Lord Jesus Christ, who pushed His people even farther to understand this teaching, and now has been fulfilled with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that is this idea that is unique among Christians, that we don't have to worship at any specific geographic location. We don't have to go to some holy mountain. We don't have to go to some temple. We don't have to worship before any idols. Why? Because God is everywhere present and fills all things. someone who is not a Christian once asked someone at our church, why is it that your church is where it is? Is there something holy that happened there? Is there some reason for it? And the person explained, no, what is holy about it is that we come together at that location and we invoke God. We say at the beginning, Heavenly King, Comforter. We ask Him to be present with us and to abide in us. Besides that, there's nothing special about this location. It just happened to be where our people settled. We don't have to be tied to it. We know St. George used to be this, what's now the senior center, a couple of blocks from us. Now they're the cathedral. Churches can move because of the needs of the people. There doesn't have to be any specific location where we worship. And even this week in the news, brothers and sisters, it saddens me. I see that there was like 1,000 people who were making their Hajj, their pilgrimage, that the Muslim made. 1,000 people died from the heat. Why? From our perspective, there's no reason to do that. If it's hot, stay home. Don't go kill yourself to go to some location. God is with you. Jesus told us, when you pray, go into your closet, close the door, don't show off in front of other people. God is with us even there. I go into the prisons and visit with some of the inmates that are Orthodox or are learning about the Orthodox faith. God is with us there. We have a service there. I bring them if they're Orthodox. We say prayers. We say, oh, Heavenly King, come and abide in us. And I bring to them the Holy Eucharist. It doesn't matter where we are. Sometimes that room is used by Muslims, sometimes by Jews, sometimes by people that worship pagan gods. But when we are there, God is with us. Because He's everywhere present and fills all things. In addition, the second thing that I want to highlight about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and it relates to the fact that He is everywhere present and fills all things, but we also hear about it more specifically in that hymn of the day. Blessed art Thou, O Christ our God, who has revealed the vision that is most wise, and He has through them fished the universe, or cast His net into the universe. We hear this expressed by Jesus when He leads the disciples out on the boat and they haven't caught anything. He says, throw out into the deep. And they said, you're crazy. We're not going to catch anything there. And they haul in almost more than they can handle. And that, metaphorically speaking, is what happened with the apostles. When they went out to the universe, when they went out to the world to profess the teaching of Christ. Because no longer can we say that there is one race or one group of people or one ethnicity that somehow has special privilege or access to God. No. We hear, even in the beginning, of course, that we human beings, all of us, no matter what our race, no matter what our background, our ethnicity, that we are all created in the image of God. And now God has sent upon the world His all Holy Spirit, that any one of us may come to God if we so choose to accept it. And therefore, we as Christians have to wrestle with this teaching. It's part of Western civilization that we have wrestled with the idea for 2,000 years, and none of us has yet perfected it. That's why we still come to church and we still read the Holy Scriptures and we have the sermons, is because none of us has perfected what Jesus has taught. None of us truly, truly recognizes God present everywhere and filling all things, and none of us truly has yet accepted the foreigner and those who are different than us and our enemies as being made in the image of God. So we repeat this again and again and again. But it's why we, as a Western civilization that in one way or another been influenced by Christianity, continue to grapple with this teaching. You know, if we didn't believe that way, it would be very easy for us to look down upon people from other countries. It would be very easy for us to look down upon migrants who come across our border. It'd be very easy for us to do that, but because we're Christians, we have to grapple with things like this. Yes, we have to, and I'm not by any means trying to make any political statements, but we have to recognize, yeah, we have a country. And we have to do things for the benefit of that country. But we also have to recognize people who come across our borders, even those who are criminals, are made in the image of God. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? That's what we have to wrestle with as Christians. And one thing I can tell you is that we're not asking that question. How do we deal with that? We're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. Because we have to wrestle with the fact that our enemies, that people who are foreigners, people who are different than us, even people of different religions, people who reject Christianity, we accept them. Even if they don't accept it, we accept them as being made in the image of God, and therefore we have to treat them with love and respect. Because that same spirit that has been poured out upon us is everywhere present and fills all things. That same spirit is seeking after them, yearning after them, that they too may accept the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, on this great day, this feast of Pentecost, as we praise and bless the All-Holy Spirit, the Good Comforter, as we call Him, let us also wrestle with the implications of what it means. With the fact that God is everywhere present and fills all things, and that each and every human being has been made in His image. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That He will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have
the gospel of righteousness.